Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not-so-smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is, making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Stash. Gonna have to wait though, just to keep you in suspense a little bit longer. Turns out that we were definitely duped. However, we did get into the candy locker. That's all I'm gonna say. But Jay definitely made this decision using his candy brain and did not think it through, did not consult with his partner, that would be me, and got duped. Because what was sold to him is not what's actually available.
It would appear so.
I think it appears as though you got duped. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I was just sitting here looking, sitting here maxing and relaxing, looking at the NFC and the AFC standings from this past season. Mostly I remember them, but it's good for me to revisit after a month or so has passed since the end of the regular season. And I'm doing this for the purposes of quarterbacks. And so while we have some news, we also have some teams that are still without quarterbacks. And as I'm going through, it's interesting to look at where the chessboard is now and how it sits now. The Queen has not yet made her decision. So Mrs. Rogers' neighborhood may or may not remain in Green Bay. I think that is so unlikely, mostly because of the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers knows it. But in this case, we've not seen the Queen make a move. And so Rodgers still has the option, I suppose, of walking away from football. I'm going to say it's not a completed deal, but there really is no alternative at this point. He's not going back to Green Bay. And what other teams out there can afford to bring him on board or are willing to comply with his wish list? So, yes, the Queen has yet to make an official move, but the Queen, well, she could be the next up, the next piece to be moved or not. Just know it's obvious where the Queen is going. The Queen's move is not a secret. But what about the rest of the NFL QB chessboard? There are still some holes, and there are also holes that have been filled. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Since we're dead center of the work week here, it's the hump show. I sigh because producer Jay and I are really feeling it. This is absolutely a hump show, middle show of the work week where, oof. Oh, well, that was a bad one. Let's see. Hold on. Oh, yeah, there we go. Face plant. Or face palm that serves as a face plant right into the hump. Yeah, it's just a rough day of sleeping. We don't really have any reasons for it. I actually took drugs and it still didn't work. And so it was a rough Tuesday coming off of what were two pretty chaotic days behind the scenes here. But it's okay. We are rummaging our way through candy lockers and we are foraying. I don't even know the word anymore and I'm too tired to think of it. Jay, just look at me. I have no idea what you're talking about. I cannot bail you out. I cannot help you. We are forging ahead is what I meant to say.
There it is.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate the moral support. Part of the hump show is that we allow you to ask Amy anything. So what we need you to do is send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We still have a poll that is live for another 45 minutes. This is about, speaking of QB news, this is about Jimmy Garoppolo and whether or not he's an upgrade over Derek Carr in Las Vegas. So if you haven't taken that poll or if you want to see the results, that's still live. And then at the top of both Twitter and Facebook, we've got an Aaron Rodgers question, a Jets question. We've also got that bright orange box. So that's what you need to look for. The bright orange box where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, now 30 minutes away. So as we think about the various moves that have been made to this point, and there were more that were agreed to on Tuesday, want to run through the teams in the league, in the conferences. We'll break them down by divisions. All right, so let's start in the AFC because that's what we've been asking you. Is the Jets roster with Aaron Rodgers and his cronies, is that Jets roster automatically the best in the AFC East? Should Aaron Rodgers get there? And I think it's more a when at this point. Again, because the options are, they're drying up. Is a Jets roster with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback and Alan Lazard as one of the top receiving options, is that team the best in the East? I say no. I still say that the Bills are better. And the Dolphins, we know that if Tua is healthy, they've got a lot of weapons around him too. Patriots at this point are bringing up the rear after a below 500 season in which they did not make the playoffs. And so that's your AFC East. We're pretty confident that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up with the Jets, but we'll hear from him specifically. Well, you will. I'll be sleeping. Jay may be awake. You could always send a tweet or a Facebook message to Jay. Hey, are you watching this, producer Jay?
It's possible.
Is it really?
I hope not.
Oh, my gosh. You are a better man than me.
I blame him yesterday a little bit for the lack of sleep.
Why?
Because I thought he was going to make the move yesterday or the decision yesterday, and I feel like I kept waking, and I checked Twitter a couple of times to see if it happened, and it just like was in my mind. I was like, I want to see it when it happens.
You clicked the bait.
That's exactly it. He got me. Hook, line, sinker.
Oh, man. He's doing this to a lot of people's sleepless nights. So in the AFC East, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, they get Mike White as a backup. So I'm happy for Mike White. What did he get signed to a deal that pays him $10 million a year? That's amazing for Mike. Be a lot of fun to see him hook up with Tyreek Hill, wowzers, or Jalen Waddle. And so Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, and soon to be the Jets are set at quarterback because that's where Aaron Rodgers is headed. I believe in the AFC North, Joe Burrow's in line for an extension, but obviously he's going nowhere. The Steelers love Kenny Pickett. He'll have year number two ahead of him. The Browns have their guaranteed money man, Deshaun Watson, and then we don't know about Lamar Jackson, but it doesn't matter, I guess theoretically, it doesn't matter if they get a deal done because he's franchise tagged. So unless he wants to sit out next season, he has to sign that tender. He wants to get paid nothing next season. I suppose he can decide not to sign the tender. Remember when Le'Veon Bell did that? Shoot, who was it for Seattle that did that as well? Was it Earl Thomas? No, it was somebody else for Seattle maybe. Who tried that move? Bobby Wagner? Huh. What? Will you Google it? Seattle, holdout, franchise tag. But it didn't work because after a few weeks, he signed it and decided to go get money.
I believe it was Cam Chancellor.
Cam Chancellor. Yeah. Good call, producer Jay. Somewhere in that candy brain of yours. Every now and then, some useless information pops out.
Blind squirrels.
Oh, sorry. I meant useful information.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
My line. Anyway, it doesn't often happen that a player will turn down the kind of money, especially if you're a quarterback, that's available if you get franchise tagged. And I don't think Lamar wants to sit out another season. That's not him. But it's a tenuous situation at best with the Ravens. However, he is still their quarterback at this point. All right, moving into the AFC South. Oh, that was won by the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. Trevor Lawrence, Ryan Tannehill, according to the GM of the Titans, is still their quarterback. He's still the guy that's going to be leading them forward. I think the tone likely changed after they realized Malik Willis is not ready. He was overwhelmed out there. He needs some more time as a backup. He needs some more reps that are not in game where the pressure is ratcheted up. So if you believe him, then Ryan Tannehill is still the quarterback for the Titans, and he would be coming off an injury too and hopefully healthy. Now, the Colts and the Texans in the AFC South, they are the ones, obviously, that are still looking for starting QBs. I get that the Colts were... So this is kind of weird. I don't know if you guys heard this. I get that the Colts were usurped by the Panthers when it comes to that number one overall pick, the draft pick that the Bears traded to the Panthers, which makes me giggle because Frank Reich gets fired by the Colts, even though it's really not on him. But he gets fired by the Colts, replaced by Jeff Saturday. He lands with the Panthers, who then outbid his former team for the overall number one pick. But here's the rumbling I'm hearing. Now, I say careful about what you believe at this time of the year. But the rumor that I'm hearing out there, have you heard this, Jay? That the Panthers may turn around and trade that pick to the Colts. But they're the ones who would end up as the broker, right? They get it from the Bears. A lot of people say they gave up way too much to get it. I say when it comes to drafting a quarterback, you do whatever you can. You do what you got to do. If you really believe he's your guy, you do what you got to do. But now the rumor is they may turn around and trade that to the Colts because they know how desperate the Colts are for a quarterback.
Is this kind of like a spend money to make money scenario?
I guess. It's fleece your competition is what it is.
I mean, they gave up a ton, it's for no doubt, to get that pick. But if the Colts are that desperate and want the guy more, then they'll give up more than that, right? Because the precedent has been set for the price of the pick.
What is important to note here is if they both know which quarterback they want. So, for instance, if the Panthers believe that the quarterback they want is still going to be available, the Colts pick fourth, right?
I believe, yes.
If they swapped with the Colts and they believe the quarterback they want would still be available at number four, then they're potentially willing to move back again. However, you're taking a risk. Because if you don't know exactly what the Colts are going to do and you move back and they take the quarterback that you want, well, then you've lost your ability to pick first. You've lost your ability to get your man. And I'm not a big fan of, okay, we like this guy and we like this guy. Because you've got to have the right fit for your system. And if you're going with a quarterback that high, you better be darn sure of the guy that you want. Anyway, that's the funny rumor out there. But the Colts don't have a quarterback right now. They're likely going to draft one. And the Texans are also likely going to draft one. But that's the thing. The Texans pick second now. And so regardless of what the Panthers would do with that pick, the Texans are going to take a quarterback. So you got to be really careful, really careful. Anyway, so D'Amico Ryans will have a new QB. The Colts are likely to have a new QB. That brings us to the AFC West, where the only new QB is Jimmy Garoppolo with the Raiders. That's also the home of the defending Super Bowl champions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you about the AFC. Does an Aaron Rodgers trade to New York make the Jets the best in the East? I still say the Bills are better on paper, obviously. This is barring any type of catastrophic injuries, but I like that Bills roster still. They haven't capitalized on it. They haven't used the opportunities. They've had some real strong regular seasons, but they've run into some teams that are better than them in the Chiefs and the Bengals. But it doesn't mean it's not a great team. They're a real good team, and I think their coaching staff is more mature, has more experience, and just like the foundation, the culture they've built in Buffalo to this point, to get to this point where they've been a contender for several years. Now, you can answer that question on both Twitter and Facebook. In the NFC East, Jalen Hurts is due an extension. The Eagles actually are going through what a lot of Super Bowl champions go through, which is that guys are getting paid. So they're leaving because they are getting paid. But we do know they were able to retain a couple of their guys in the last couple days. One of them being Bradbury. I'm like flipping through websites even as I talk to you. They're keeping Bradbury, and they're exchanging Miles Sanders for Rashad Penny. It's a move that a lot of people were reacting to on Tuesday because they feel like that's a real nice upgrade. So Rashad Penny comes in, Miles Sanders is gone. He was the lead back for the Eagles the last 4 years. 3,700 rushing yards. I mean, it's a big deal. But Rashad Penny really impressed. And maybe the Eagles end up doing some other moves there. The only thing about Penny is the broken leg that maybe people are nervous about. So he did miss the rest of the season for the Seahawks. But like anybody, when healthy, he can be a real force. That's a running back situation. But I just was talking about the Eagles there in the NFC East. Certainly helps Jalen Hurts. Cowboys, Giants, they both have their guys. The Commanders right now, they have allowed Taylor Heinicke to walk. Taylor Heinicke ends up in the NFC South with the Falcons. Here's Mike Florio. Just a real quick kind of gambit on Taylor Heinicke landing in Atlanta.
Where does he fit with Desmond Ridder? I don't know.
I don't know.
Great
either.
Backup or competition, or are they both just waiting around to see what big move they may make, whether it's a rush to get Lamar Jackson or a first-round pick if they stay put or trade up to try to get a long-term answer? Although I feel like they just got Desmond Ridder last year. I mean, I don't think they should give up on him after 1 year. They're in a great position to draft a quarterback if one falls to them, but I think that's part of the tension. We want to see what Ridder has, but we may be in a position to do better this year. Taylor Heinicke, I guess, would be the insurance against Ridder either getting injured or just flopping. But we'll see. Bottom line is, he's another guy off the market at the quarterback position. He'll be in Atlanta. And the Falcons, I respect it. 7-10 last year, 7-10 the year before. They're doing what they have to do to try to get better.
Mike Florio on flopping with Desmond Ridder. Taylor Heinicke to Atlanta. That's the NFL and NBC. So, yeah, that's where Taylor Heinicke lands. He brings a lot of passion, for sure. Doesn't have a great deep ball. Actually, it's kind of funny because I'm watching a Commanders game on TV in front of me on the NFL Network. The free agency showcase, they're calling it. And right now they're spotlighting Taylor Heinicke.
Quite the showcase.
Yes. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. While we're there in the NFC South, yes, the Falcons went to the rookie Desmond Ridder last year, but they bring in Heinicke. We know the Saints got their man with Derek Carr. The Panthers have moved up. They now own the number one overall pick, but they also bring in Andy Dalton as a veteran backup because, think about it, they drafted Matt Corral last year, but he was hurt all of last year, and he was he a third-round pick, if I remember correctly? I could be wrong, but I feel like that rings a bell. He was hurt all of last year. They really didn't get to see a whole lot of him. No doubt he would have been starting if he was healthy because neither the Sam Darnold option nor the Baker Mayfield option worked out the way that they wanted. And so he wasn't available. He's not the high-profile QB that they want. They want to make a huge splash. David Tepper wants to make a huge splash, and now he's got Frank Reich, who played QB in the NFL himself. And the Buccaneers still need a quarterback. So every single one of those teams is changing quarterbacks coming up in 2023. In the NFC North, Kirk Cousins restructured with the Vikings, but he's staying put. Jared Goff, they love him in Detroit. The Packers will go to Jordan Love. And the Bears now, we know because they traded out of that spot, they're sticking with Justin Fields. That's smart considering the year that he had before he got hurt. And then in the NFC West, the Niners have Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, and now Sam Darnold. It's interesting. It's very interesting. The Seattle Seahawks, they're good with Geno. The Rams, there had been rumblings they were trading Matt, or they were at least thinking about trading Matthew Stafford, but Les Snead has said no way. He's one of our pillars. And then the Cardinals, they're riding with Kyler Murray because they have no choice. We don't know if Kyler will be ready for the beginning of the season. However, that's still where their bread is buttered. Carson Wentz is still out there. Baker Mayfield is still out there. Jay, stop making those faces.
Hello.
And we know the Buccaneers still need a quarterback, and that's kind of been the rumored marriage between the Bucs and Baker. Oh my gosh, could you imagine going from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield?
That's quite the drop off.
It's astounding.
It is. That's a good word.
Or Carson Wentz?
No. I mean,
you can get him for Would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz?
Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I mean, it's a tough option, but yeah, I think I'd rather have Baker at this point.
Baker's not a bad quarterback. He's just been through some bumpy roads. I think that for him getting humbled last year, really this time last year, it's been a humbling year for Baker. I might even like him a little better. We were rooting for him when he went to first the Panthers and then the Rams.
It was fun, that Rams game, that Thursday night football game.
Game. So, all right. Well, that's interesting. So we've got coming up next, the head coach of Drake, Darren DeVries, who actually coaches his son, could have played a lot of different places, but instead chose to stay home in Des Moines, Iowa, and play for his dad. The Drake Bulldogs are a team that a lot of pickers and analysts are choosing as an upset special in that 5-12 matchup against Miami. We spoke to Jim Larrañaga on last night's show. All of our conversations, by the way, are podcasted. You can find the link on both Twitter and Facebook every weekday morning, but we love the reaction to some of the player interviews we did. So Darren DeVries, straight ahead, and beyond that, Ask Amy Anything. So you can send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us on what is now a very early Thursday morning. Well, Thursday. Oh, no. I said it was Thursday. Ah!
Not yet.
Not yet. Dang it. Oh, it's the hump show. I should have known. Should have known it was too good to be true.
Maybe we could speak it into existence. Let's keep trying.
Maybe we could use that as an excuse when we don't show up to work on Friday or on Thursday night into Friday morning. When the boss shows up on Friday and we're not here. Oh, sorry. Thought it was Saturday.
Who knew?
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
I'm JR of CBS Sports Radio, and I want to introduce you to a new podcast titled Agents of Inclusion, brought to you by Special Olympics, Odyssey, and JR Sport Brief Productions. Every Wednesday, we'll be speaking with a different Special Olympics athlete to share their stories of perseverance, accomplishment, and path towards inclusion. We don't want you to just listen. We want you to become an active agent of inclusion as well. Special Olympics, Agents of Inclusion, find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
For us, it's been a fun week, getting to sit back and wait, and now we get to see who we play. And, obviously a very tough opponent, the ACC champs. Playing them in Albany. Never been to Albany, so this will be a great trip. So looking forward to that, but what an awesome opportunity for our guys to cap off, an amazing run down the stretch here and then that conference tournament title.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Darren DeVries, head coach of the Drake Bulldogs out of the Missouri Valley Conference. Coming up on Friday in Albany, they will go toe-to-toe with the Miami Hurricanes, who, of course, had a share of the ACC regular season title before losing in the tournament semis. These teams each had 7 losses this season, both better than 25 wins. And just to be fair, because, we're nothing if not fair here on the show, we spoke with Jim Larrañaga of Miami on our last show, and Darren DeVries, the opposing head coach, want to make sure he had a voice on After Hours as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Head to our show Twitter and Facebook to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That is coming up in mere moments following the update here on CBS Sports Radio. But had a chance to catch up with Darren DeVries earlier in the day. And, of course, I always start with that moment as they're watching their name flash up on the board during the selection show. The atmosphere in the room when that moment finally arrives.
Yeah, they were all really excited. Yeah, we had the luxury, I guess you'd call it, of having a full week after our conference tournament to wait for selection shows to come. So we were anxiously awaiting to see who we played, and had a great turnout for everyone to view it, and the guys were excited. And now that we know, and now it's time to get back to work and get the game preps and get ready to go try to win a game.
For a mid-major school, even though you do have a recent NCAA tournament appearance and win on your resume, how much does it change for your office and on your campus when you get to the NCAA tournament? And not just you, but your women's basketball team, too.
Yeah, it's certainly a fun vibe around campus right now. You know, the students and everybody's really excited. As you mentioned, a women's team was able to punch their ticket as well. So on the basketball side of things, people are pretty excited about their hoops in Des Moines right now.
Does it make a difference when your school is in the spotlight and then you hit the recruiting trail and people have seen the Drake Bulldogs and Drake play on national TV? Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's all the recruits right now, and it's a busy time of year for recruiting. So you're trying to get ready for an NCAA tournament game and also, you know, making sure that you're continuing to get out there and recruit as much as you can. And you know, kids recognize it. You know, they watch it. They see it. You know, they see the fun that our guys are having and want to be a part of it as well.
Coach Darren DeVries is with us here on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Drake men's basketball back into the NCAA tournament, but a significant difference for this team. Your son is on your roster. What's the biggest challenge of coaching someone that you have lived with most of his life and that you know so well?
I don't think we've had a lot of challenges. It's actually gone pretty smooth. I think the biggest thing is just trying to always make sure that I remember that, you know, he's a college kid, and to make sure and give him his space as a coach and a dad, you know, that he has his time to get away as well. But we've certainly enjoyed it. It's been an awesome 2 years of being able to go through this all together.
My mom was my math teacher in high school, and I will just say that we clashed, so I'm pretty impressed that you've had no major issues or problems. But I'm certainly proud of her. I can imagine he is proud of you. Was there any part of you that maybe wanted him to go out and play at a different school, take an opportunity that wasn't there in Des Moines?
You know, for me, it was all about just letting him decide what he wanted to do, what was best for him, and certainly would have, you know, respected if he wanted to go somewhere else and do that. But, you know, thankfully he decided that this is where he wanted to go. And we tried to make the most of it, enjoy every moment.
I know this is an unfair question, but how proud are you of the way that he's handled not just his basketball, but all of the attention that's come on him and just being in this position?
Yeah, I think it's been, he's handled it well. He's a really humble guy and he works really hard at it and he has great teammates around him as well. So, it's been a lot of fun to see how they've all interacted together and share in each other's successes as they've gone through this.
I have to ask you one more question because you mentioned balancing dad and coach. He was in the hospital for a couple of days earlier this year. How tough was that? Just trying to focus on basketball, but also your son is in a hospital bed.
Yeah, and that's one of those times where, you know, we certainly had our moment where it's like go to practice, and then the rest of the time was, making sure that I was there with him in the hospital and, making sure he was all right and doing well. And the family side of things always kicks in first and takes priority, especially in a situation like that. So, but thankfully, he was able to kind of get through that scary few days and recover and now back to doing what he loves again.
Wonderful. So glad that it didn't turn out to be a much bigger challenge or take away the basketball. We're spending a few minutes with Darren DeVries of Drake men's basketball into the NCAA tournament for a sixth time in school history, but his second time with the Drake Bulldogs, who win the Mizzou Valley Conference and will take on Miami in Albany. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jim Larrañaga, another one of those coaches who's been around a long time. What have you found out so far about Miami Hurricanes basketball?
That they're really good, first of all, you know, having won the ACC and coach does an incredible job. You know, he's got an unbelievable amount of wins and been doing it a long time and just does a great job with his team. And they're super talented. So, like everybody in this field, there's a lot of good teams and they're certainly one of them.
How much does it matter that your school does have a win under its belt going back to Dayton and that game 2 years ago to get into the main field?
Yeah, hopefully it helps. You always, like experience, and if you can apply it in some ways, that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to, getting this opportunity again for our guys. And, Miami's got the same type of feel, though. They had a bunch of guys that were part of that, tournament run that they made last year. So certainly glad that we have some experience so they can share it as we lead up into that game on Friday.
Yeah, one of the challenges a lot of times for mid-majors is a size situation, or really the bulk and bigger guys, more physical. When you look at your schedule, what are a couple of the games and moments that maybe prepared you for a matchup like this with Miami?
I think maybe the main one was we had played Mississippi State in a neutral site game earlier in the year that we were able to pull out in a close win. But going against that size, as you mentioned, that you got to really – be locked into the things that can allow you to survive when you are a little physically outmatched, and that's doing a lot of little things to put yourself in a position to still succeed.
Sure. You know your personality or your team's personality, whether or not they get nervous. A lot of times, though, being on this stage and this opportunity can be a little overwhelming. So what will you tell your guys when they get ready to step on the court against the Canes?
Yeah, the biggest thing we're trying to do is just be us and what we've been all year, and stay locked into the moment that is, and that's the possession on the floor, and do whatever you got to do to try to win each possession and not let yourself think outside of anything else other than what we're doing. And that's it's easier said than done, but I really believe this group because of their experience and their desire to continue to want to play is something that I think will outweigh all the other factors.
Before I let you go, Coach, it dawned on me yesterday as I was watching Selection Show that it was March 12th, which was exactly 3 years since the day that March Madness was canceled in 2020. Talked about it a little bit on my radio show last night. But if you don't mind, what do you remember about that day? As a basketball coach, what it's like to have all of your campus activities and your team kind of get shut down?
Yeah, that was a wild few weeks there. What do you mean there's not going to be a March Madness? There has to be a March Madness. And when that all went away, I think you even had a lot of, the players and things realize, like, wow, that it's got taken away from me. I think their appreciation for being able to be out there and compete again when we got that chance to get back out on the floor, you could really see how much they wanted to be out there again after such a long layoff. And let's hopefully we don't have to go through that again anytime soon.
Right. But I would agree with you. You never take it for granted. When you go 3.5 months without sports, all of a sudden, it's not so much an automatic, but it's more of a luxury. All right. The Drake Bulldogs winning the Missouri Valley Conference. Coach Darren DeVries, thank you so much for a couple of minutes and good luck against Miami.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Another one of those 5-12 matchups, and how often do we see mid-majors who will catch their Power 5 opponents off guard? Now, Jim Larrañaga and Miami, they're battle-tested even out of a down year in the ACC, and he does not agree with that. If you missed that conversation with Jim, it's on our podcast. But Drake is a team that a lot of people are pointing to as a possible Cinderella because they've got the son of the coach who is a player of the year candidate, even though he plays in Des Moines for Drake. He wanted to be there for his dad. VCU won the Atlantic 10. That's another 12 seed. And so there always are these quality mid-majors. A lot of times they have experience. They are sitting there in the 12 spots. And so they pose major challenges for the 5 seeds in the way that they're matched up. Oral Roberts is a 12 seed battling Duke. Oral Roberts had 30 wins this season. So you got some real quality teams there sitting in those 5-12 matchups. And Drake is a popular pick right now. Have you filled out your brackets yet? We've got the After Hours Bracket Challenge on both Twitter and Facebook. It's pinned to the top of the page. Straight ahead, Ask Amy Anything. So last couple minutes to get your questions in. Same thing. You know the routine on social.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
We have to pivot. Producer Jay is otherwise engaged. In fact, he's running after the person who stole our candy. He decided he was going to be a man and do something about the person who ran off with our candy. He's currently in the hall with the lockers and bolt cutters, attempting to cut through a padlock so we can get our candy back. He's trying to defend the honor of the show and get our candy back. So you got me instead for Ask Amy Anything. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago when Jay was gallivanting on vacation with his family, I managed to ask and answer my own questions, though I did it off the cuff just by reading them on social. Jay actually printed the questions for me before all hell broke loose in the hallway, and he had to defend the show's honor. So I'm going to just read the questions off the piece of paper that he gave me. Thanks, Jay, for doing all the hard work. CJ wants to know, what is my favorite breakfast food to make? Well, I love pancakes. Absolutely adore pancakes with pure New Hampshire maple syrup. However, I don't make those very often for breakfast because I'm eating breakfast before I go to bed. And so for that reason, the pancakes are a little bit too heavy. But I do love pancakes, and I've recently started making cinnamon. Like it's actually, they're a Kodiak brand, but they're cinnamon oat nut pancakes, and they're to die for with the fresh New Hampshire maple syrup. So after I run on Saturdays, I very often make pancakes. But otherwise, in the mornings, I make egg burritos. I put mozzarella cheese in them. Actually, I had egg and avocado a couple of mornings ago. Fresh avocado on top of my eggs. So good. A little extra salt. It was delicious. So eggs, I'll eat eggs of any kind except for poached. I don't like poached eggs. Eric has a food question as well. We all know you love to bake. Have you ever tried to make donuts? And what's your favorite flavor of a donut? Actually, I've never tried, though it's on my list. I do have a couple recipes for donuts. Maybe I'll make donuts for, I was going to say Jay's birthday, but it just passed. Maybe I'll make donuts for my nieces. They've got birthdays coming up. That would be kind of fun. They're amazing when they're warm out of the oven. My favorite flavor of a donut. Well, I'm a chocolate nut, so anything to do with chocolate. I do really like the chocolate glazed donuts, or if you've ever had a Krispy Kreme, the actual Krispy Kreme, which is glazed, stuffed with their delectable cream, that's another favorite. I like pumpkin donuts. I mean, who doesn't like pumpkin donuts? I'm a big fan of the blueberry cake donuts as well. I know that sounds crazy. Apple cider donuts. Have you ever had fresh apple cider donuts in the fall when you go to, say, a fair or a local farm? Delicious. Don't get me started. When is National Donut Day anyway? They give away free donuts at various bakeries. Task Amy Anything here on CBS Sports Radio. Scott is getting us off of the food tack. He says, I know you're an avid runner. Did you ever run on the Rocky Steps in Philadelphia? I mean, they're not actually the Rocky Steps. They've got a name. But okay, well, I'll play along. You know what's funny? I've been to Philadelphia many times. I've walked those steps. But I refused to run them because I thought that would be cheesy. So, no, I've never run the Rocky Steps, but I have walked the steps. Yes. Thank you for asking, Scott. Let's see. Rich wants to know, have you ever played a musical instrument? Well, yes, I play the piano. I have a piano. My mom made me take lessons when I was a kid. I hated it because she made me practice. I didn't hate the piano. I just hated that she always nagged me to practice. And yes, she would agree that she nagged me to practice. But now that I'm an adult and I had to go years and years without playing because I didn't have a piano, a couple years ago, I asked mom if she would buy me a used one for a Christmas present. And we found one that was relatively cheap, but in great shape. It's an older piano. It's a spinet similar to what I grew up on. And it's now, it actually costs more to move it than it did to purchase it. And it's now in my, well, I call it the piano room. It's the office. I love, love, love my piano. So, yes, I do play a musical instrument. While we're talking about mom, Marie wants to know, during your last visit with mom, did she give you any tips when teaching young adults? Actually, my mom is so great at teaching teenagers. I thankfully will have early 20-somethings for the most part. I guess I'll have a couple of teenagers. But what she did in terms of teaching, she said just to be straight and be straight with them, but also to just stick to the point. Just they are, treat them like adults for the most part, and they will respond to that. So don't need to get all crazy. Don't worry about them. And also, she's fairly strict. My mom is no nonsense in the classroom. I know because I took her classes when I was in high school. She doesn't take excuses. She doesn't accept excuses. And so she has high expectations, but I think it indicates to the class right away that she believes in them. And so I will have high expectations for my guys as well, my students as well, but I'm also going to lay it out for them. Here's what's expected of you. Here's what I require of you to give you a passing grade. And, you know, we're going to be open here in the class. There are no hidden secrets, no hidden tricks. So I'm just going to treat them like adults, and hopefully that works out. Let's see. Perry says, I write poetry to my girlfriend. Are you a poetry person? Meaning, do I compose it? No. I don't really enjoy reading it that much either. There are some poems that I memorized when I was in school. The Road Less Traveled, I would say, is probably my favorite poem. So I don't write it. I don't read it a ton. Actually, in the Bible, Psalms is full of poetry. And so there's some of that, I guess, there's some of that that I do read, but it's very specific. Let's see. Robert wants to know, what's the origin of your signature sign-off at the end of every show? Now, for those of you who don't listen to the end of the show, meaning the fourth hour, you may not know that. Jay, where is it? Can we hear it? Boom! Oh, Jay's busy eating candy. I guess that indicates that he, in fact, did crack the padlock on the locker that was housing our stolen candy. Boom! If you don't listen to the very end of the show, which comes up at, well, it's just before 6 a.m. Eastern, just before 3 a.m. Pacific time, well, then you might not know that that's how we end every show. The origin goes way back to the very first year that I was here on CBS Sports Radio when I was hosting shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Pacers color analyst on their radio network, every time there was a three-pointer, he would yell, "Boom, baby!" And Jay, I don't know if you can find it. You may not be able to, but that was his signature. Anyway, I started saying boom just when I felt like I'd made a great point or when, you know, we're being goofy on the show. And pretty sure it was Tom. It was originally Tom who brought it back as a drop at the end of the show. And it became a thing. And now people tell me if they don't hear the boom at the end of the show, then their entire morning is thrown off. How about that? Let's see. Casey wants to know my favorite month of the year. Huh. My favorite. Oh, sport month of the year. That would be April. April's my favorite sport month of the year. Oh, maybe it's October. Oh, October wears me out, though. Shoot. Both of those are great. I like April. I like October. October wears me out. I don't have any rapid fire. Do you? Okay, Jay is done putting out fires and stealing our candy back, so he has rapid fire. Go.
All right, we'll close out here.
Wait, did I do okay?
Perfect. Phenomenal.
Thanks, Jay.
Logic or emotion?
As in who I am?
Just which one?
Oh, I'm an emotional girl.
Clean a litter box or walk a dog?
Walk a dog.
Be a wizard or be a superhero?
I want to be a superhero who can sleep on planes and who can fly. Nice. Those are the two superpowers I want.
Lays or Ruffles?
Lays.
Blue or yellow tortilla chips?
Blue. I love blue. Yellow. I love that you call them yellow.
Yellow. Corn.
Corn.
Last one here. Brush your teeth with soap or drink sour milk?
My mom used to wash my mouth out with soap when I would say swear words when I was a kid. I'm not drinking sour milk, so that's got to be it.